McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Let me see those hands again. Yeah. Hell on the high. Hey, everybody jump. Jump, 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 jump. Everybody jump, 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 jump. Come on, listen. Some of y'all know how to do this. Some of y'all don't. Some of y'all might be with this. Some of y'all won't.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Good evening. Scott Collins, would you like to come forward to the podium? Thank you, sir, for being here.
This is an important position. And my hope is if I'm not the person that you select, that you are successful in whoever it is that you select, because it does mean a lot to a lot of people. So
Thank you so much.
Sure.
We appreciate
thank
you, sir.
Thank you.
Make a motion for the city of Milton to go into contract negotiations with Scott Collins for the city manager position.
Second.
Second, second, second.
Did it? Okay. It's unanimous.
Yes, ma'am.
You've received it. Okay.
Is that 21 to nothing? It's 21 to zero?
21. Now, that might seem like a relatively low drama moment since Heather Lindsay, the mayor of Milton, introduces Scott Collins, the solo lone finalist. When the city council cut down their list, they cut down from, 9, and then 2 didn't participate, eventually down to just 1. They didn't go to 2, they didn't go to 3, they went to just 1. What did I say at the time? You remember? I said, it makes more sense to cut to 2 or 3 because I think that you want to be able to interview in person a couple of different candidates, because you never know. Every stage of the process, things can change and, something might happen. And I thought that Ed Spears should have been one of the finalists because he's the known. Okay. And, sometimes what happens is, you're living with somebody, and you see the parts of them that maybe you don't like. Okay. And you see the parts of them that, you fall more in love with. Okay. But the new person coming in, offering themselves and looking like a fantastic candidate, well, maybe go on a second date before you decide to get married. And so they did. They went on a second date with Scott Collins and they absolutely loved him. And I'll be honest, I did too. I thought he did a fantastic job in the interviews. I just think that, maybe you want to also interview other people because, hey, things can change. Who knows? Circumstances can change. You want to have a backup plan just in case. And again, when you go on that second or third date with people, especially if there's somebody that you gain more information, okay? You gain more perspective. So I don't believe in putting all your eggs in just the one basket. I think that that's kind of a little bit ambitious of a choice. So they do their interview with Scott Collins, and as you heard, the result of that unanimous selection, everybody's on board. In fact, the only real disagreement in the beginning was, is it only going to be him or are we going to have a couple of extra people? But at the end, everybody was on board. In fact, they were so on board that Jeff Snow, city council member Jeff Snow, who is in the exact opposite faction to the degree there are factions still within Milton City Council. There's a 6-2 basically split right now in the council. You have Marilyn Farrow and Mike Cusack on the one hand voting no, voting largely with the pitchfork posse against the 6. And they lose a lot of votes 6-2. In fact, the other 2 major votes that happened during the city council meeting last week were losses by them for 6-2. They wanted to delay the selection of the contracting firm to dredge Lachlan Lake. They wanted to delay it 6 weeks until after the new city manager could be in place. They lost that 6-2. And then it went unanimous with not BDI. It went with the other company. And then the other one, what was the other thing that they voted on? Same thing unanimously. Oh, putting out the RFP again to build the marina project. That they both lost 6-2. So you have, and that's very consistent, okay? Marilyn Farrow and Mike Cusack consistently lose these votes 6-2. If there's any disagreement at all, it's 6-2 these days on the city council. So you have a pretty, that's a 6-2 is a pretty good majority. But back to Scott Collins, is to the degree that there was any disagreement, it there wasn't any over him. They all loved him. I'll play some of the interview clips here in just a second. But Jeff Snow even went so far as to put Mike Cusack, again, see, they're kind of on opposite ends of the spectrum, to put Mike Cusack up as the guy to oversee the process going forward.
As far as a council representative for contract negotiations, does this council want to appoint a member to collaborate with Mr. Andrade in the process of negotiating the contract?
Make a motion for Mike Cusack.
Second.
Okay. There's a motion by Councilman Snow, second by both Councilman Jarrett and Councilman Hawthorne, to appoint Councilman Cusack as the council representative for contract negotiations.
So they all agreed to that. You know, easy peasy, unanimous.
Don't mess this up.
Pressure's on, Mike.
Not my first rodeo.
And that's unanimous as well. So thank you, Councilman Cusack, for being willing to serve in that capacity.
So Jeff jokes, don't mess this up. And, you know, and then what did Heather say?
Don't mess this up.
Pressure's on, Mike.
Pressure's on, Mike. And then they vote unanimously, which has had been a foregone conclusion. The reason I laugh nervously is because, have you heard the news since last Tuesday?
Oh, no.
The news since last Tuesday is, okay, so Alex Andrade, the city attorney, and also our state representative, but different roles, in his professional capacity as an attorney, he represents the city, he was going to be in negotiations with Scott Collins, who apparently is, like, independently financially secure, so doesn't really care about the money. He's been a city manager, he's been a cop, he's been a city councilman, but apparently he doesn't need the money, he just likes the job. So there shouldn't be anything to hang this up. And remember that Mike Cusack has bragged again and again and again about how he is like the bestest negotiator there ever could be, and he loves Scott Collins. You think he's a great candidate?
I'm an old school guy. I've hired a bunch of people my career. I've been a director of companies and business owners, and the gut always tells me right out of the gate, right? You are the man for this job. And any question I ask, you're going to have an answer to. You're so well prepared, it's amazing. I have very few people I've ever interviewed in my life. I've hired a vice president, and I've never seen anybody as prepared as you are for this job. I mean, the research you've done with the budget, Highway 90, it's amazing what you've done.
So he's awesome, in according to his own self-description, at hiring people. He's hired a lot of people. He knew from his gut, and he's gushing and bragging. And he loves this guy. So this should be the easiest of all possible things. Unanimous selection. Everybody loves him. You know, Mike, again, self-described expert at hiring all kinds of people. We should be done. Oh, but wait. It's Milton. You never know what's going to happen. So we get this weird note that there's going to be a special meeting tonight. And the special meeting is going to ask the question of whether Alex Andrade screwed up the hire so bad that Scott Collins isn't going to come work for the city. You say, what? Yeah, no kidding. So when you looked at the very scant on the information, but when you read the actual information that had been given, it was a series of emails kind of back and forth. And here's the funny thing. I found out about this while I'm driving home yesterday. Okay, we're coming back from Jacksonville, visiting grandma. Coming back from Jacksonville yesterday. I found out about this while I'm on the road. So I can't really do anything while I'm on the road. But I took a second when we were at McDonald's stopping for lunch, and I had read the materials, and it was basically like nothing, except that Scott Collins wrote a letter saying there's, you know, some undercurrent of opposition to me. I'm not interested in coming. I'm out. And there was a note in there, I think, from Alex that said, you know, he's independently financially secure. We've been talking back and forth about the salary range. One of the issues was a $5,000 moving amount. It's like 128, I think, was the number, okay, for the hire. Nothing controversial whatsoever. So the question is, well, what happened? Well, still putting all the pieces together, but I'll tell you the story that I have heard is that apparently Mike Cusack, the so-called expert at hiring people, messed this up 83 different ways because he thought he was getting cut out of the negotiation. And he's not the negotiator. He doesn't have the power to negotiate on behalf of the city. The city attorney does. But apparently he got, I don't know exactly, because I still have some records requests in for some of the information to back all this up, but apparently didn't like how it was going, wasn't involved enough in the process, felt like he was being maneuvered around. There may have been other conversations between him and Scott Collins. There may have been other conversations between members of the Pitchfork Posse and Scott Collins that basically convinced Scott Collins that he, you know, this was too much chaos even for him. And he pulled out. So the layup, you know how when you're watching basketball, like they feed the ball to the guy and there's no defenders around and all he's got to do is go up there and, you know, lay it up. And he goes to slam it and it bounces off the back of the rim and goes back up to half court and everybody's like, and you lose the game. Looks like Mike Cusack is the guy that missed the dunk, is what it looks like. I'm still waiting on information. I'm still waiting. But that's the kind of the, and this is why now the special meeting to figure out what Alex Andrade screwed up has been canceled because he didn't screw anything up. And by the way, this is now the second meeting. There was a, there was another called special meeting for Thursday that got canceled. So the mayor calls a special meeting for Thursday, cancels it. Calls a special meeting for Tuesday. And what did Alex Andrade do wrong? Cancels it. And now there's some weird placeholder event Saturday that doesn't have any backup for it whatsoever. And we don't have a city manager hire. He's backed out. Now, could be that some people are working on negotiating back with him and maybe he'll come back in and maybe he can be persuaded that the craziness he has seen is really the minority view and only a couple of loud, obnoxious, difficult people. And don't let that bar you from coming here. But it looks, again, based on what I know at this point, it looks like the folks who were thrilled to have him, the Pitchfork Posse contingent, of which Mike Cusack is a representative on the council, got their guy. And everybody else got a good guy, too. And then they screwed it all up, which is hilarious. It's bad for Milton, because now they got to go back through this. Either Scott Collins changes his mind and comes back, or they got to go through this process again and figure out, well, who's our other guy that we're going to hire? Because I don't know. He was our number one pick. So we'll see what plays out, and I'll tell you more when I get all of my records requests fulfilled because I'll be able to read to you from the emails that have now been deleted from the city website, which is also not a great thing because typically if a meeting gets canceled, you would still leave the information up so that people can see what was there, but it's not there. So when they say...
Don't mess this up.
Pressure's on, Mike.
Not my first rodeo.
Apparently it was his first rodeo, or at least it was an ugly rodeo. Let's put it that way. 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, and I'm back. Candy, David, Bobby, Joe Ford, thank you for holding down things while I was gone and keeping the show going. I super appreciate it.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who pay attention to every little detail. The ones who fuss, tinker, and sweat the small stuff. Because you know the tiniest thing can make the biggest difference when it comes to keeping business moving. We get it. We're the same way. Offering access to product experts to help you quickly and easily find what you need. So whatever your industry, you know you're always getting professional-grade products. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, Pensacola's own On the Rocks takes all your musical favorites, shakes it up, twists it, then adds their own unique and special flavors, serves it to you on the rocks. Bands on the Beach, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
Do you have heart failure and often hear...
Those stomach issues ruined your birthday.
You're too tired to play catch, Grandpa.
Sweetie, you haven't touched your tools since the carpal tunnel syndrome diagnosis.
If these seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, talk to your cardiologist. Ask about transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy, or ATTR-CM, a rare and underdiagnosed disease that gets worse over time. Learn more at connecttoyourheart.com. That's connecttoyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
How come a girl as bright as you could have a brother who's so...
Don't call me stupid.
That I wish you saw.
525, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. It's hot. It's hot. It's humid. It's hot. And it's going to continue to be hot. And it's going to maybe be record-breaking hot in Phoenix today. I lived in Phoenix for about 7 years, and there's no number they can tell me that would be surprising, but their record high is 115. They're looking at 117 for today.
Oh, my God.
So, and, you know, for those of you who are like, well, it's a dry heat. Yeah, that's what the spontaneously combusting cockroaches on the sidewalk say. it is a dry heat. It is horrible. And what happens is, like, the first day of 115, and you're like, you know, eh. You know, first day of 110, you're like, well, that's hot. But by about day five, you're like, oh, I just want to die. And it's like just a grinding heat for 6 months straight during the summer. It's awful. My wife says she'd rather have the dry heat. And I say, I'd just rather not have either the heat or the humidity. They're both terrible. They're both awful.
Yeah, it's been pretty awful this week.
Yeah, it has
dog's
been.
Dog's mouth. Heavy storms.
And,
dog's
but no
mouth.
Rain, I hear. We haven't been getting any rain at all. No rain. Joke. 437-1620. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The first pretrial hearing in the classified documents case against former President Trump is set for today. That'll likely focus on how the classified materials will be shared between Trump's attorneys and special counsel Jack Smith. The judge overseeing that case has it set to begin next month. Federal prosecutors, though, have asked for it to be moved to December. Today expected to be another day of investigators combing through the belongings of suspected Long Island serial killer Rex Huerman. Detectives were inside his home yesterday with reports that they found 300 firearms in a walled-off vault behind a metal door in the basement.
That doesn't mean nothing.
No, that's nothing.
Come
at
on,
all.
I know guys that got that like four times in their
I
house.
I think it's standard in Michigan.
Michigan, Texas, Florida, Georgia. Yeah, go on.
And on a lighter side, Lindsay Lohan is a new mom. According to Page Six, she gave birth to her first child and named it Luai. The baby was born in Dubai, where apparently she lives with her husband. I had no idea she lived
She's
in Dubai.
Married?
Yeah. All of these things, right?
Wow. Yeah.
See, here I thought
We're
she was a virgin
a
all this time. No? Was I wrong?
What did you say?
I thought she was a virgin this whole time.
Oh. Same.
Sorry. 437.
Thank God. Thank God she's
but
married.
But married not, and has a baby. Well,
and
congratulations.
I'm not, and I'm not saying, like, you can't have a kid out of wedlock or whatever, but man. I'm sure you are, but God. Thank God there's somebody in the picture besides her that can
That's
raise
right.
this kid.
That's
all
Luai
I'm saying.
From Dubai.
Perfect.
That's great. God. 437.
A bigger screw up than I am.
437-1620. Oh, the Florida law that prohibits anybody under the age of 21 from purchasing any gun. And this federal law that you can't purchase a handgun. State law, of course, that you can't purchase a shotgun or a rifle. It's a part of the Parkland bill. Okay, something that's been litigated for, you know, ever since it was put into place. And I agree, should be litigated, is not constitutional because you've basically told 18, 19, and 20-year-olds that they cannot legally purchase a gun, and that takes away their Second Amendment rights. So the full appeals court is going to take this up after the panel had said no, that, you know, that it was constitutional, basically. So that's going to be interesting. I've said this all along, that this case is likely to wind up at the Supreme Court. Because, you know, deciding whether an entire category of people can be discriminated against on the basis of their age when it comes to a fundamental constitutional right, that seems like the kind of thing the Supreme Court's going to have to figure out eventually. And so, yeah, even though the full appeals court is taking it up, that's really just a step in the process of eventually, again, my opinion, but eventually the Supreme Court in its entirety is going to have to take that up and make the decision. 437-1620. You know, I think that last week you guys sort of dropped the ball. Honestly, you kind of failed to cover a news story that was perhaps the most significant news story that happened while I was gone.
Not going. 2-2 to Diaz. It's hit in the air to deep left field. Back it goes. Elias Diaz puts the National League in front.
Elias Diaz with a bomb to left field off of Batista takes the lead in the eighth inning in the All-Star game. And then Craig Kimbrell, veteran, seasoned arm hanger that he is, playing in those black jeans that the National League was wearing last week if you watched the game.
Two on, two out, and a 2-2 pitch. Ramirez swings and misses. Kimbrell slams the door. The National League's finally back on top. Its first All-Star game win since 2012.
The National League won the All-Star game for the first time in 11 years. Come on now! Come on now! Then I got nothing. Nobody? Okay, it's just all me. That's fine.
I don't know how I missed it.
Ditto.
It did happen a week ago, but it needs mentioning. Just saying. I know you guys reported on it, but, you know, for me as a Cardinals fan, and for all the Braves fans in the house, and for all the Marlins fans in the house, this is big news. This is big news. With the designated hitter, now the National League has reached parity, and we can have meaningful All-Star games again.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The heat wave across the southern U.S. is expected to get even more intense today and tomorrow with no end in sight, National Weather Service forecaster Bob Orbeck.
Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Arizona, the interior valleys of California, all those areas are going to see temperatures over 100 degrees. And when you combine in the higher humidity, you're going to have some dangerous heat.
Phoenix, Arizona is expected to hit 110 degrees for a record 19th straight day. Investigators have been taking more items from serial killer suspect Rex Huerman's home on Long Island, New York, including up to 300 guns and a portrait of a battered woman.
A client of Huerman's also coming forward detailing a conversation that she had with the suspected killer while driving him home a year before his arrest. She says, quote, "At one point on the drive, we talked about the Gilgo Beach murders. We even discussed the burlap and why someone would use that. In retrospect, thinking about that conversation, it's just bone chilling."
Fox's Jackie Ibanez. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne at 77. Partly cloudy skies right now in Pensacola. The trial continuing for one of the two men accused in the murder of Ladarius Clarity today.
At the close of the evidence, at the close of the case, the evidence will show that Quavion Snowden is guilty.
At the end of this trial, you will find that there is reasonable doubt that Mr. Snowden did not commit these crimes that he is accused of. We will then ask you to return the only just verdict, and that is a verdict of not guilty.
And the jury's been seated. Opening arguments have been made. 23-year-old DeKavion Snowden faces a possible mandatory life sentence if convicted. Back in July 1st of 2021, Clarity was driving a vehicle as he was ambushed. Is more than 50 bullets were fired into his car. A second defendant in the case, Amos Snowden, also expected to be back in court in September. Special counsel meeting that was originally scheduled tonight at Milton City Hall has now been pushed to Saturday morning. This comes after the city's top candidate for the city manager job suddenly withdrew from consideration yesterday.
My hope is if I'm not the person that you select, that you are successful in whoever it is that you select, because it does mean a lot of people. So
thank you so much.
Sure. Scott Collins last week, just moments before the council voted to enter into contract negotiations with him. Yesterday, of course, the news breaking from the Santa Rosa Press Gazette that Collins had withdrawn his name from consideration due to a coordinated effort to make either his contract negotiation or initial contract term unsuccessful. As of now, the meeting scheduled for Saturday, there is no agenda published on the City of Milton website. Plans for the renourishment of Navarre Beach have apparently hit a snag. According to the News Journal, FEMA now says they will not be contributing towards the $18 million project. Back in April, the county commissioners signed off on a plan that did call for the county and Florida DEP to each contribute $7 million, and FEMA would pick up the remaining $4 million tab. FEMA, however, now has notified county leaders they will not be contributing due to a portion of that beach being in a Coastal Barrier Resource Act zone. The zone used to be a state park, but now it's a county park. It's 5:34 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will have a small chance of rain this afternoon, 10% chance of a stray shower, high near 95, mostly sunny skies throughout the day with a low near 80 degrees. We're going to be seeing mostly sunny skies for your Wednesday with a small 10% chance of rain, high near 95, Wednesday night temperatures dropping near 79 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It is 77 in Pensacola, 81 right now in Gulf Breeze, and 76 in Milton. Our next news at 6, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe.
Get ready to get down with legendary disco and dance group, KC and the Sunshine Band. Sunday, August 27th at the Pensacola Singer Theater. Celebrating 50 years of making booties shake. Reserve seat tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. KC and the Sunshine Band, August 27th, Pensacola Singer Theater.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola. Online, newsradio923.com, or by downloading the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirty and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match here. But at night, it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on, come on, and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity? The days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer. In the city, cool town, meeting in the city, dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat looking for a kitty, gonna look in every corner of the city.
Good morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Stan Nichols, Pace, Florida. I've been in office 15 years. This is the first time I've come up here to speak as a citizen rather than officially on behalf of my office. Spent my life around sharks, and I can recall being on a bar pier and many a summer watching the sharks swim inside of the sunbathers and the people swimming, and they never once have attacked anyone. So I just want calm minds to address this issue and just be careful whatever decisions you make. I agree with what most of everything that has been said before. We just need responsible decisions. I trust you all that you'll make that, and just make sure that we don't make a decision that's going to take away the rights of our citizens.
You need to resign. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I've been watching you guys for over a year, and you are disgusting. I just didn't come out of the woodwork, honey. I've been watching you guys.
That's my favorite. I don't give a lot of airtime to Michael Stevens because he says some ludicrous things. Yeah, but that's got to be my favorite quote of the last week.
Disgusting. I just didn't come out of the woodwork, honey.
I just didn't come out of the woodwork, honey. I love it. So I go away for a week, and it's like Santa Rosa County just fell into a sinkhole. What is going on? Okay, Milton can't hire a city manager, or they hire one and then they botch it. Well, I have a theory about who botched. We talked about that before. I shouldn't say they, because that means all. And it wasn't all. It was some. It was some very small group. Anyway, and then you have this whole shark fishing ban, limited area to fish from the beach in Navarre. Will it be during the nighttime hours only? Are they going to protect the fishing area around the pier? All of this stuff. And again, you know, Michael Stevens with his unique brand of commentary.
I just didn't come out of the woodwork, honey.
So first you have Stan Nichols shows up at this meeting. Now, this was a two-parter, okay? This was last Monday at the committee meeting, because South Santa Rosa News had published a story. Romy White, a good friend, she published a story about how the county was fixing to impose some kind of a fishing ban or a shark fishing ban or some combination of the both in a whole bunch of areas on Navarre Beach. And, of course, people like to fish Navarre Beach, and especially the people who want to fish just, you know, offshore. But also, if they want to fish for sharks, that's something that's been going on for years and years. So the fishing community lost their ever-loving minds. And, I mean, based on the information they had, rightly so, based on the actual what was happening, maybe not so rightly so, this was certainly blown way out of proportion by, in part, the perception of how things happened and the fact that it didn't come before the public, and never one to miss an opportunity to create some drama, James Calkins, of course, who his, you know, the first note in this meeting last Monday from Colton Wright, the county the chairman of the commission.
Number one, the fishing item was never on our agenda. It wasn't published. It was discussions with staff internally on shark fishing near swimmers. It was a safety issue. It had nothing to do with general fishing across the county or across our beaches. And staff was actually developing regulations to separate swimmers and shark fishermen. So just to let everybody know, that's where we were at. So there is nothing on tonight's agenda about fishing.
And so this kind of happened while everybody was out of town. They were all at there was a commissioners, like Florida Association of Commissioners meeting, and most of the commissioners were out of town. And basically there had been some conversations about shark fishing and about some concerns with shark fishing off of the shore being, you know, at odds with tourists, at odds with swimmers. And there had been a confrontation between apparently Julie White, who is the director of tourism or whatever, Navarre Beach director of tourism, some title in that vicinity, and you know, a fisherman who had been setting up shop to do shark fishing. We learned a lot more in the Thursday meeting from Devan Cook, the county administrator, but basically they had been working on some way to create a safe space for the shark fishermen and also for the swimmers. And what they had come up with in, you know, sort of the preliminary was these zones around the public access points down the way from the main part of Navarre Beach would be for swimmers and no shark fishing. The shark fishing could be sort of in between those zones, and they had ordered some signs. This is kind of the concern about, you know, what had been done. Well, James Calkins, who had been, again, one of the kind of the instigators of, you know, getting everybody riled up about this.
I think that there's a lot of concerns about this issue, and I know we got to get through public forum, but I think the citizens want to know that this issue is killed and dead. So I would like to be adding this on the agenda to kill this issue. Benjamin Franklin said,
"Oh, good Lord,
don't sacrifice freedom for safety."
Okay, well, public forum.
And so
we don't add items during public forum.
Yeah, so, but I just want to let you know that I'll be adding it on.
When we start the regular meeting, we can talk about adding
Thank
items.
You.
So when we actually have a place in the meeting where you want to add an item, we can add an item, sir, if you want to just shh for a minute and let people do their public forum. You know, this ongoing conflict between Colton Wright, who wants to run a professional meeting, and James Calkins, who can't spell the word professional. Doesn't know what to do. Who probably can spell the word professional, but just always wants to have his say, jump in, butt in, rile people up. I mean, that's kind of his modus operandi, right? So that's the way this goes. And this was an ongoing bicker battle back and forth between them over things like the amount of time that people would be allowed to speak. And, you know, there's truth on both sides. I get that basically what Colton is trying to do is create an organized meeting where they can get the business of the county done on time and let the people speak to the degree it's possible in an hour before that meeting starts. James Calkins always likes to grandstand about how, you know, I'll stay here all day and let everybody talk for as long as we want. Well, none of the rest of us want that, sir. So, you know, limiting time makes sense based on the parameters. If you go to Tallahassee, they do this all the time. There's no requirement that you give people unlimited amount of time to talk, and even 4 minutes is an awful lot for people to present there, especially for the regular participators who get to do this all the time. But that's all beside the point. The issue was the shark fishing. And the perception that it wasn't just shark fishing that they were going to limit, that instead it was fishing in general that was going to be limited. And so you had a lot of people believing that basically shore fishing was going to be restricted to certain areas, and it wasn't even just shark fishing, or if they understood the issue that it was just shark fishing. In any case, that was the problem. And people wanted to know, okay, why? Why is this happening? Mark Griffith asked the question.
Why is county staff coming up with what essentially is regulation when they're not directed by the board? It sounds to me like county staff ought to be, they got a complaint, find out, well, is this a valid complaint? Is there a rule being broken? And then tell the person, this is who you go to address it. They're not there to write rules. They're there to, you know, follow what rules are there. To me, that needs to come from our elected officials, you guys.
All of which is correct. He's right to ask the question, you know, why is staff creating a new fishing prohibition on the beach? Well, and part of the answer to that is that ordinances actually allow them to do it in the interest of, well, it's already in the ordinance. In fact, if you go read, there's a couple of very important laws to understand when it comes to these sorts of regulations. One is that Florida as a state has a law, 379.105, that says a person may not intentionally within or on any public lands or publicly or privately owned wildlife management and fish management areas or any public waters interfere with or attempt to prevent the lawful taking of fish, game, or non-game animals by another within or on such lands or areas or in or on such waters. Meaning, if somebody's fishing in a place where they're allowed to fish, you can't bother them. You also you cannot go bother the fish to try to make them go away, or the deer, or the whatever, you know, like some environmentalist might come in and try to prevent them from fishing by scaring the animal. Illegal. Florida statute. So fishing rights are kind of enshrined in our statutes, okay? And there's been an effort to put an even stronger version of that. Santa Rosa County. So you can't go, somebody's fishing on the beach, you can't go like, hey man, stop it. You're making it so I can't swim here. Not allowed. They have a right to be there, okay? Then when it comes to Santa Rosa County, if you read the ordinances, there are a couple of them that are relevant. One is that between March 1st and October 31st, Navarre Beach is, of each year within any public bathing area at Navarre Beach, as may be specifically designated by the county, or within 300 feet of any Gulf Front fishing pier, okay, you cannot have watercraft, surfboards, or similar objects, cannot be carried or used in the waters of the Gulf of Mexico. So you can't surf by the pier, okay, is the short takeaway. Can you swim by the pier? It's not prohibited. It's kind of one of those, like, you shouldn't. You'd be dumb to do it because people are fishing off there. But can you prohibit people? Nah, not exactly. And this is a may. Okay, this is a maybe, as in may be specifically designated. The other one, between March 1st and October 31st of each year, this is section 1451 and 52. Fishing with a spear, hook, or barb may be prohibited. Santa Rosa County Ordinance may be prohibited within any public bathing area at Navarre Beach as may be specifically designated by Santa Rosa County. And the county shall post one or more signs, okay? So they can already, they haven't, but they can ban the fishing, okay, if they want to. So Devan was actually within his authority to do some of this, okay? And he was in consultation with Tom Danheiser, the county attorney, figured this stuff out and was trying to solve a problem, the perception of which was shark fishermen at odds with swimmers. How do you solve that? Well, he should have brought this to the whole board. This should have been a public meeting. This shouldn't have been done without, and he acknowledged as much, okay? But Devan's a good guy. He's just trying to do what makes sense based on the problems that have been put before him in a week where he didn't really have access to the commissioners. And so did they order signs? They did. Should they have ordered signs? They shouldn't have. Were they on the verge of making rules? They were. Should they have been? No, they should not have been. Okay, and he acknowledged as much. So it's kind of this weird, like, it was something that was happening, but it wasn't official board action. It wasn't an agenda item, and it wasn't ever going to be banning all of fishing. It was only going to be restricting shark fishing specifically to certain areas, which you are allowed to shark fish. You're only allowed to take or capture certain ones. There's all kinds of rules about this from Florida Fish and Wildlife and how many you can take, one per day, basically. And they there are size limits, and it's only certain kinds of sharks. But in any case, shark fishing does occur, okay? And there are rules about it. So in the end, you had this big fight over two issues. Should you have any regulation at all for shark fishing, and over the unclarity that people thought that all of fishing was going to be happening? And of course, as you would think, this was a very controversial item because people love to fish, and fishing is a very important part of our community.
it disturbs me that we have so much hostility about this because it's really unnecessary. I don't see anyone up here that has any hostility towards any fisherman out there who wants to do anything about getting rid of fishing, getting rid of shark fishing, infringing on anyone's rights.
Yeah, not getting rid of, but restricting, yes. But again, a lot of this was still not quite known until the Thursday meeting.
What I saw is that there was signs being ordered, a map showing designated swimming areas, and a proposal to ban shark fishing. That's what I, and were you involved in that?
So if this is going to be a Q&A, I didn't know we were going to grill each other.
I'm just asking a question.
I'll finish. But no, I saw no photos at the time. I saw no proposed sign. Those were the discussions that were had. But I didn't see anything about here's the area. Here's the proposed language for the sign. It was simply, I mean, Mr. Danheiser was in there. He can tell you. He basically said, we have an existing ordinance. Here's some thoughts we have.
And the thing is that at that time, based on what Colton knew, I think that was right. But then we learned a lot from Devan on Thursday about, like I said, that they had been in discussions. They had made a map. They had ordered signs. And they were fixing to do a restriction on shark fishing in certain areas of the beach. And so there's truth on both sides here. But there was never a proposal to ban fishing generally, which is what people got most worked up about. There was a proposal, and not even a proposal, but there was going to be action to restrict shark fishing to certain parts of the beach, and that was the issue. And, of course, what James Calkins did is he turned it into an opportunity to grandstand a bunch on, look at me, I'm protecting fishing, which the whole board was in agreement. They were not going to do this. This was entirely done, again, by staff, without board oversight, without board input, without board direction, which is a problem, is a bad thing. But everybody involved has been disciplined. So it's done.
I'm prepared when the time is right, when the meeting starts, to make a motion that we just drop all of this designated swimming area shark fishing issue now. And if you all are what you say you are with all your stories, you'll back that. We need to just drop this issue and tell staff that we don't want designated swimming areas. We don't want a ban on shark fishing. We just want to leave things as they are. I fully believe that's exactly why these folks are here today. So if y'all will support that, I think that'll alleviate all the concerns. So that's all I'm asking.
And they did, and it's done, and all five agreed because all five are on the same exact page. The real issue here is not so much that there was a problem with, you know, restricting the fishing or the shark fishing. It's, you know, how did staff come to the point where they were ordering signs and trying to put this in without asking the commission what to do about it? That's really more the issue. And that is a concern, but based on the, you know, I got my hand bit real good this time. I think that's the last time that's gonna happen. And that, again, I don't think any ill will. I think Devan Cook was definitely trying to do the right thing. It just kind of, it all went sideways after a while. And so you had this big meeting. And we didn't even get to play his comments or any of the other stuff from the segment. That was all from the Monday meeting. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Marcus Point Baptist Church is proud to bring Sportsman's Night Out back and bigger than ever. Join us as we welcome the star of A&E's Duck Dynasty, Willie Robertson, and Hall of Fame fishing legend Hank Parker to the Pensacola Bay Center on August 3rd. You could win a camper from Carpenter's Campers, Kubota tractor from Coastal Machinery, a HVAC system from Florida Air, and more. It'll be an incredible night for the entire family. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. We'll see you August 3rd at the Pensacola Bay Center.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at David's Catfish House. David's Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish and fresh Gulf seafood, as well as generous portions of southern sides. Every Tuesday is two times Tuesday. Buy the six-piece shrimp dinner and get six more shrimp for free every Tuesday. Wednesday is lunch special day. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton and New Warrington Road in Pensacola. Welcome to David's, where southern and seafood meet.
This is Tort Talk with personal injury lawyer Terrence A. Gross.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Floridians can stack uninsured motorist coverage? If you have three vehicles with $25,000 stacking UM, that equates to $75,000 in total coverage. Therefore, always choose stacking coverage if you have more than one vehicle in your household.
Tort Talk is brought to you by Terrence A. Gross. Call 434-3333 or check him out at grossandschuster.com.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
He don't even have his license, Lisa.
All fails and mistakes. Streets are blue. Almond looks that chill divine. Some silken moments goes on forever, and we're leaving broken hearts behind.
Oh man, that brings me back. High school right there, 556 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, it's Pensacola Morning News.
Mystify me. I need perfection.
Good stuff. Happy Tuesday. David Wayne's in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, that new six-week abortion law in Iowa is now on hold. A judge blocked that new law yesterday, which essentially bans all abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. They're dealing with litigation. The judge's ruling will be in effect as courts deal with a lawsuit filed by the American Civil Liberties Union and abortion providers. A punishing heat wave being felt all across the Southwest. Andrew, you mentioned this a little bit ago, but boy, Phoenix, how hot is that? 110 degrees for 18 consecutive days, and today expecting 115 there.
I used to sit in Phoenix in the summer and get angry at the people that created Phoenix. People should not live here.
That
we should
is
not live here. My job should not have to be here. That's what I thought at the time. Go ahead, David.
And the Georgia Supreme Court has now dismissed President Trump's bid to shut down an investigation into his alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 election results in that state. In a unanimous decision on Monday, the court concluded that Trump had not demonstrated extraordinary circumstances that require its intervention. This comes after his legal team asked the court last week to block a probe by Fulton County Democrat District Attorney Fannie Willis.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. I know y'all talked about this last week a little bit while I was gone, and that's okay. It's good. My God, Century didn't test the water? What? Doesn't test the water for lead, copper, other contaminants. Ho-hum, whatever. You know, no
for
big deal.
For a year.
Yeah, only for a year. I mean, what's the big deal? It's just a year of potentially dirty water.
And then
they send out a notice that says, yeah, we failed to complete the required sampling for tap water, lead, and copper, and therefore we're in violation of monitoring and reporting requirements. I don't know if the water safety director has this voice, but I'm making it up. 40 samples.
He sounds like the weepy voice killer. Great.
40 samples were required for each contaminant, and we took zero. Because we did not take the required number of samples, we did not know whether the contaminants were present in your drinking water. And we are unable to tell you whether your health was at risk during that time. So, now, here's the thing. It doesn't mean the water was unsafe. We don't know. You know, can't find what you don't test for, right? So, we don't know. But I will say this. It raises a serious question of whether Century would be better off disincorporating. You know, you talk about incorporating areas like Perdido, Navarre, right? Maybe it's time for Century to consider, we don't really need to be a corporate entity. Maybe we can just let Escambia County run us like they do the rest of the areas. Since ECUA, ECFR, Escambia Sheriff run so much already, why not let the county run Century as any other place?
Your home.